this beautiful Sunday morning, amen, as we all get focused and we ready at the time to get into God's Word now, amen. We're in a series for the last roughly give or take a month now, a new series we started on the committed, on in regards to commitment and being committed unto the Lord. When you're able to be committed unto the Lord, you're able to be committed to the church, which is the body of the Lord. You can't be committed to the head and not to the body. If you're committed to the Lord, you'll be committed to the body, which is the church, which is taking place right now. Amen. Once again, if you're here for the first time, we welcome you. Amen. I spoke last Sunday on Zacchaeus, and it was too much information. I said it was going to be a part two message, which is today. But I'm going to quickly overview what was spoken Sunday to get into this Sunday. Amen. So that we can make a total sense of what was taking place and the life of Zacchaeus, that on the outside looked like he had it going on. The Bible says he was a very wealthy man. He had become rich, the Bible says. Amen. So with that, amen, the title is The Committed. The Committed. And I believe like never before, the Lord is looking for committed men, committed women, and committed youth members in this end time that we live in. Amen. And bringing others unto salvation. It's going to take commitment. Amen. Salvation does not come without commitment. It has its price. Amen. And I know there's a group of people here before me, and I'm included, that should be grateful for the commitment that the Lord had at the cross of Calvary in order to have us here this Sunday. Think about it. You don't have to think about it too long. Well, we shouldn't be here this morning, amen? Amen. We shouldn't be here this morning. But through His grace and mercy and His commitment, we're here this morning. Amen. So let's go ahead and get into the Word here in the book of Matthew chapter 7. If all the moving around can come to an end, amen. We can fellowship after the service in anything and everything. Amen? Fellowship's a good time, but we'll leave it for after the service. Amen? So in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, as we get into the Word of the Lord here this day, the Bible reads, Jesus speaking, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I ask that you put me to the side, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here this morning. We ask that you go forward touching every man, every woman, every youth member here that is present this day. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Speak. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Here in opening scripture this Sunday, we find two types of people that call upon the Lord. Two types of people that call upon the Lord. Those that call upon the Lord that never actually do His will, the uncommitted. I was calling the name of Jesus before I even got saved when I was in the world. Amen. I shared last Sunday when the court sentencing came around. You know, I wasn't acting hard in front of the judge. Amen. I wanted the least time as possible. I was calling out to the Lord when actually I wasn't doing His will. I was doing the enemy's will. But yet I wanted favor in the courtroom. Why didn't I ask Satan to help me with the sentencing? Amen. So the Bible says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's important here this day. And then there's those that call upon the Lord that actually do His will, that are actually committed. Amen? I want to speak this morning about being committed to whatever we say unto the Lord. I know we can make promises to one another and break promises. Amen? Because the Bible says that we all fall short. But when we make a promise unto the Lord for what He has done for our lives, amen, who is the Father of all truth, and how many have ever made promises to the Lord here at the altar? Amen? You're being moved of the Spirit of the Lord. He's prompting you, and He's telling you what you got to give up. He's telling you what you got to do. Amen? And you make a promise, a vow unto the Lord that you'll never, never, never do that again. And whatever you want, Lord, here I am. Send me. Amen? So here this day, there's two types of people that call upon the Lord. An uncommitted and a committed. Being committed to what we say to the Lord does not only give us, I put here last week, access to answer the call. How many know you got to be committed to answer the call of God? But the second thing that being committed unto what we say to the Lord gives us access into heaven. It's what scripture, opening scripture says in verse 21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. The tragedy with the church today is that many believe, many call upon the name of Jesus, but few are committed unto Him. Few are committed unto Him. And even though we call upon His name, He's looking for those that can commit to what they have promised unto the Lord. As we go to the story here found in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 1 all the way to verse 10. Real familiar scripture. Some of you, the majority, should know the story. There's some that are brand new here this day that's never heard this story before. Amen? Let's get to reading. Amen? The Bible says this before Jesus going to Jerusalem. Amen? It's his time of his death, and I believe he was walking a little bit faster than usual because he had an appointment with the cross. He had an appointment with obedience. He had an appointment with being committed to your life and my life. As we pick up here in verse 1 this morning, the Bible reads that Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector of the region and had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up, the Bible records, up at Zacchaeus, and called him by name, Zacchaeus. He said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Not mañana, but today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. And final verse, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Amen? Here in verse 2, the Bible says, I'm going to move quickly to get to the part 2 of this message. Verse 2 said that there was a man named Zacchaeus, and that he was the chief tax collector in the region, and that he had become very rich. He had everything money could buy. But I believe if he had become very rich, I believe he started with nothing. And I believe many of us, when we come to the knowledge of Jesus, we start off with nothing, not knowing what to do with our lives, where to go with our lives. And we come empty-handed unto Jesus, not having nothing to offer but a life of sin. And Jesus, through his grace and mercy, received your life and my life, saw past the sin that he had already dealt with at the cross. And like I always said, looked into your life and said, I can use that man. I can use that woman. I can use that youth member. I got a plan. I got a purpose. I got gifts already within their lives. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is happy you're in church this morning. But he would even be more happier if you would answer the call that he has upon your life. As parents, we want our children to do great things. We don't want to see them just barely get by. But we want to see them be successful, amen? And whatever they put their hands to, amen? We want them to be successful. And we serve a father, amen, that wants us to be successful, committed. Here this morning. And he's happy that we're in church. It's a good place to be here this morning. And a good time to hear about being part of the committed, being one of the end time disciples of Jesus. And here the Bible records that Zacchaeus had become very rich. He had everything, the comforts of life, which money could buy. But at the same time, his money was a serious threat to him being able to see Jesus. From him being able to be a disciple of Jesus. Because Jesus calls us to forsake all. And here within the life of Zacchaeus, he was very rich. And the chances of him following Jesus were not too great, along with having a life full of sin, being the Bible recorded him as a notorious sinner. If there's two things that hinders a man or a woman from answering the call of God upon their life, the first one would be money. You could have a minimum paying job, no money in the bank today, and still all of possessed in having money right now. Having no money. And if you're a lot like me, when I came to Christ, I didn't have no money, but I had a life full of sin that I was notorious for. So here we come to find out this day and age, and even though this story was 2,000 years ago, money still plagues the man, the woman, and being able to be a disciple of Jesus. Sin still comes against the man of God in the making, the woman of God in the making, the youth of God in the making. Sin is still a great hindrance in answering the call of God. And here we find Zacchaeus, very rich and with a life full of sin. He was a cheat. He would cheat all the people of their taxes. And upon this day, something was stirred within the life of Zacchaeus where he just wanted to get a look. He just wanted to see Jesus. I know when I came to church 22 years ago, I just had a stirring for some reason. I felt I had to go. The sugar mama says, we should go to church tomorrow. I agreed with my sugar mama and says, let's go to church tomorrow. I just wanted to check out, to see what was going on, what everybody was talking about within that church there in Victor Outreach Salinas. I just wanted to check it out. I just wanted to see what was going on. And I believe within the life of Zacchaeus, something was taking place that not even money could fill the void within his life. He had everything. And even though he was very rich, I put here, there was still a void within his life. The Bible also in verse 3 records that he was too short to see Jesus over the crowd. He had a problem. I said, how many have ever fallen short in being able to see Jesus because of certain limitations within your life? You're wanting to become that great man of God. You desire to become that great woman of God. But there are certain things within your life that are placing a limitation upon your life for not being able to see Jesus as you should be seeing him. I believe Zacchaeus had heard the reports of Jesus saving and calling certain men that were no longer lost and bound. He had heard the news about Jesus. He had heard that Jesus was making his way through Jericho. The crowd gathered. The crowd was there. And Zacchaeus just wanted to see Jesus, the Bible records. That's all I wanted. In the very beginning, lo, behold, that by seeing Jesus, he would allow me to look into my life and that I needed Jesus. Not just to come to church, but that I needed Jesus. Not just on Sunday, but I needed Jesus every day of the week. And one of these people that Zacchaeus had heard about getting saved, about being transformed, was one of the very disciples of Jesus. And I believe that day, Matthew was walking with Jesus with the rest of the disciples as they were walking through this crowd. And the Bible records here that Matthew was also a former tax collector. Zacchaeus knew that. He was the chief tax collector, amen? Zacchaeus was the shot caller. I believe he knew Matthew well. I believe he got wind that Matthew was no longer going to be a tax collector. I believe he got wind that Matthew, matter of fact, was doing very good. And that he was one of the very disciples of Jesus. And I believe that he was stirred to the point to say, if Jesus could change the life of Matthew, he can also change my life. He can also fill the void within my life that I'm having right now that I shouldn't be having. And the Bible records in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, we look back to Matthew. And this is when Jesus, at the real beginning, this is Zacchaeus at the end of his walk here on earth. And we pick it up, we go back 3 years or so, when Jesus was picking his very first disciples. And the Bible says in verse 9, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew, not Zacchaeus, but named Matthew, sitting at his tax collector's booth. And Jesus spoke to him and said, follow me and be my disciple. Jesus said to him, so Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as a dinner guest, along with many tax collectors, and other disreputable sinners. I believe I could be wrong, but the Bible says that there was many tax collectors on this day within the house of Matthew. I believe that Zacchaeus, I believe the chief tax collector, Zacchaeus, was there in Matthew's house that day. I could be wrong. The Bible don't record either way. But let's say he even wasn't. The story's still a good story, and it's my story, so let me tell it like I want to tell it. You can't prove me wrong that he wasn't in that house. I got a feeling that Zacchaeus was one of those disreputable sinners, notorious sinners. Man, Matthew had a house full of Victory Outreach people, amen? But in the midst of that house, there was a man called Jesus that made the total difference in that house of Matthew. And I believe Zacchaeus was hearing the words of Jesus just like Matthew was, just like all the other tax collectors were, and just like all those other notorious sinners were. They were all hearing the word, as each and every one of you are all hearing the word this Sunday morning. And if one of you is a little bit hard of hearing, I give you permission to sit right here in front of this speaker. You ask me why I yell, why I preach loud. Now you know. Trying to open the ears of the dumb, the mute. Sometimes it got to be yelled to get it right. I know, just as Jesus was walking a little fast, knowing his time was around the corner, I believe that our step with Jesus should also stay in stride and be walking a little quick, because we don't know how much time is left on the clock. The Bible says when he comes, one will be out in the field, two will be in the field working, one will disappear, and one will stay behind. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, I want him to find me committed. I want him to find me saying, finally, you have arrived. So I say that Zacchaeus was in this house. Even though it don't say it, it don't say otherwise either. Amen? And here Jesus singled out Matthew, and he told him not only to follow him, but to be a disciple. To be a disciple. Tell your neighbor, are you a disciple? And I believe that day Zacchaeus had an opportunity to also follow Jesus, but money and having a title of a leader stopped him. I believe that Zacchaeus had heard the reports of Jesus saving and calling certain men. He had heard the call of Jesus before. He had seen the results of certain men getting it and keeping with Jesus. One being Matthew. Just like I believe some of you have heard the reports of our VO homes across the world internationally right now. Training centers. how Jesus is changing people's lives right now. This afternoon in Salinas, California, I was supposed to be there, but I'm just too busy. Too busy, and what's his name, Lalo? We'll be getting married. He's from Milwaukee. Over 2 years ago, I went to his house and prayed for him, a gang member, drug addict. That guy's at the top of his game right now. And he's getting married this afternoon in Salinas, California. He's one of the top leaders there in the church. He's from Milwaukee. He says, I don't want to go back to Milwaukee. I says, stay there then. But there's other about four or five notorious sinners from Milwaukee that are in that same home. They were able to see Lotto make it, to encourage them that they could make it. And even though they came notorious one by one, they were all in the same house with Jesus, just like on this story right here, found in verse 10. And Jesus was speaking and calling men out. Zacchaeus' faith was stirred. If Jesus could do it for Matthew, he can do it for me. In Luke chapter 19, verse 4 and 5, the Bible reads, so he ran, he was too short, there was a crowd. He was prideful, he had money, he was rich. But he had a void also that money couldn't fill. So the Bible, he really wanted to see Jesus. The Bible says, you don't say he took off running, but it's my story. I say he took off running. He took off running, and the Bible says that he climbed the sycamore fig tree. I looked at the sycamore fig tree. I went on my smartphone, amen, the ones found in Jericho, and there was trees the size of this building, big ones, big ancient-looking trees that look like they've been there forever, amen. And the Bible records here, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name Zacchaeus. He said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Getting ready to finish with last week's message, amen. Jesus sees every man, I finished with last week, no matter where he is. Jesus is able to see any woman, whether you're doing good right now, not doing too hot. He's able to see where you're at. And he also knows you. Jesus looked up and called Zacchaeus by name. He made it personal. He called him out. Jesus sees every man no matter where he is, in dark places of sin and shame, in his home, at work, at play. But there is one person in particular whom he sees. He sees the man who is seeking him. And here on this particular day, Zacchaeus was seeking to see Jesus. There was a void within his life. Things were okay. The bills were paid. But something great was missing in his life that money couldn't cover, that a relationship couldn't cover. Something great. And even though he was the leader, the chief tax collector, a cheat full of sin, still something was stirring. There was still a space within his life that was empty. And I believe through his money, he tried everything to fill that emptiness, that void within his life. And he tried harder and harder to use money to fill this something that was great, that was missing within his life.
And I believe there's men sitting on their chair hearing my voice here this day, that there's women sitting on their chair hearing my voice this day. You might be doing okay. You may be doing bad right now. And I believe there's something great that you're able to feel just like Zacchaeus was feeling on that day. He was so desperate that he climbed the tree. And I believe there's a stirring of the Holy Spirit here this day that is saying that relationship can't fill that void within your life. That money cannot fill that void within your life. That job, that car, that whatever, that house cannot fill that void in your life that only Jesus can fill. And all of a sudden, Zacchaeus was getting another opportunity to see Jesus. It wasn't from within the house of Matthew this time, but because things got a little bit worse since the house of Matthew visitation, it had him climbing a tree to see Jesus. Had him climbing, a wealthy man was climbing a tree. Because there was a void within his life. And I believe there's some voids within the church here this day that shouldn't be there. But money and sin has entered somehow or another to hinder you from being a disciple that walks with Jesus. The call upon your life. The gifts are there. They're getting a little dusty, but they're irrevocable. Jesus says, I left them there because I knew you would be back sooner or later. I left them there. You can't make it without me. There's no joy without me in your life. The highs of this world can only get you high for a minute. Verse 4 says that he climbed a tree. Where he knew that Jesus was passing that way. Go to 5. 5, verse 5, please. And Jesus looks up and sees him up there and calls him out by name. I believe that day in the house of Matthew, he didn't pull his covers and call him by name. He had an opportunity upon that day. But this time, things had gotten a little bit worse. And he had Zacchaeus climbing a tree just to see Jesus. The Bible says he climbed a sycamore fig tree. We just purchased a new home in Germantown, a beautiful, beautiful property. Be happy for your pastor, every last one of you clap. Not a penny has come from the church. See, that was a good place to clap right there. God would use Grandpa, 77-year-old man, to fulfill a promise that God gave me. We're looking just for a little house. Now we got a house on 6 acres. But I spoke about having acres that the Lord had given it in my spirit like 2 years ago. Felipe rode with me in the vehicle. God says, turn the radio off. God is speaking to me right now. I never cared about having a house. 22 years been living with 20-some people in my house. I still live with all the men, and I love it, and I wouldn't change it for anything. It's good to have them up close to give a good rebuke when it's needed. The hand of the Lord, the Bible says, is not too short. And there is the pastors, amen? I very rarely rebuke people nowadays, amen? I'm a nice guy. Tell your neighbor, pastor's a nice guy. You didn't know him when I knew him. He's a nice guy. And I wasn't saying, God, how's that going to work? We ain't got no money in the bank. And sometimes we try to figure out the promises that God gives us. And because we can't see them happening the way we would think they would happen, we lose hope on the promises that come from God, the Word of God that says that He cannot lie. His household in one day went up on the market. One day it sold. Because God had given me a promise. And I had to wait for this promise for a while, but God gave me a promise. He gave me a promise. The house is perfectly fine. What do? Tear walls down, the ceilings down. I'm all about rehab. I don't know what the heck, man. We could have moved in already. But we're going to make it a special house where we can have great big things held out there. I never thought it was going to come through a 77-year-old man that God would answer the promise He gave me. But He did. He came through. God's a promise keeper. He just never told me how He was going to do it and when He was going to do it. But because I have nothing else better to do but to serve the Lord, He can take whatever, how long He wants to, because I know He's going to come through as long as I stay in position. It's like some of you want the blessing, but the address has changed. And the mailman's dropping it off for somebody else now. Or it says something returned to sender. I believe this new house we got came with some dead trees. It's got like a million trees on this property. It's half forest and half land. And the ones that are dead have no leaf right now. Trees are still in leaf right now, even though winter's approaching. And the ones that are dead have no leaf, so you can see right through them. But the ones with leaf are full. You can't see through them. I believe that the sycamore tree that Zacchaeus chose to climb, remember, it's my story, and I'm going to tell it like I want to, amen? I believe if he had a choice from a tree that had no leaf, no cover, and a very leafy tree, which one do you think, being a rich man, that he climbed just to get a peek? Just to get a peek on Jesus. Which one do you think he climbed? For those that are still guessing, you better come and talk to me. I need to have a counseling session with you after the service. He climbed that one that was in full leaf. It was way before the crowd. He knew where the trail went, right next to that tree with all the leaf. It was a tree, I believe, that he could climb and hide. All he wanted to do was see Jesus. He didn't want to be seen. He just wanted to see Jesus. Some of you here are not even thinking about change right now. But I want to let you know, when you see Jesus and he locks eyes with you and he sees you, anything and everything is possible here today to take place within your life, whether you climb the tree with no leaf or the tree with all the leaf. I believe Zacchaeus climbed a very, very, not only leafy tree, but a real tall tree that nobody would know he was up there. I mean, who walks around, you know? I know some of us did when we were high, but who walks around like this, especially when Jesus is on earth, all eyes are on Jesus, who walks around like this?
I believe Zacchaeus was up in that tree and he just wanted to take a peek. He just wanted to see Jesus. I said last Sunday, I also believe he wanted to peek to see if Matthew was still one of the disciples or if he had deserted him. Bible records that he wanted to see Jesus. That we do know. It don't say that he wanted to take a peek if homeboy Matthew was still running with Jesus. But I know. Just think with me. See how the Holy Ghost works? Think with me. That way my story can become your story. I believe he was up that tree to see if Matthew was still in position. I believe he went up that tree to see if the proof and the keeping power of Jesus was still operating in his ex-homeboy called Matthew. El tax collector, he get. And I believe as he took his peek, man, there was Jesus, there was the crowd, and right behind Jesus, I believe, there was Matthew still walking with Jesus. See, our testimony, church, is very important today for people to be able to see you and I walking with Jesus, where it's clear that we're walking with Jesus. On that day, though there was a crowd, it was very clear to Zacchaeus hiding up in that tree, though there was many people, that one of them was his homeboy, Matthew, was still there, not just within the crowd, but still close and a disciple of Jesus. I believe he climbed this tree, this tallest tree he could find, the thickest leafy tree he could find, to be on the down low that day. He didn't want to get seen. He was wealthy. He had money. He was full of pride and sin. I believe he picked the tallest tree and the leafiest tree, and all he wanted to do was see Jesus. He just wanted to see Jesus on the down low with nobody knowing. He wanted to see Jesus on the down low. The Bible records there in verse 5 that Jesus looked up. Poor Zacchaeus, he should have just answered the call while he was in the house of Matthew. It wasn't like Jesus saw him up there and said, "Orale, I see you, Zacchaeus." Bible records that he stopped and said, "Zacchaeus!" Everybody's looking at this sycamore tree, fig tree. The heck has happened to Jesus? Now he's talking to trees. But Jesus, knowing all things, saw Zacchaeus up there. He not only saw him up there, he saw the void in his life. He not only saw the void in his life, he says, "Today's the day for this guy up in that tree. Today's his day. Today's his day. Today's his day." Everybody knew who Zacchaeus was. They hated him. And then Jesus calls up Zacchaeus. And I believe the little... I feel like I'm making a chongo here, amen? Praise the Lord. He was peeking, and I believe when he said Zacchaeus, he went... "Come down here!" "Right now!" He called.
tell them my name's a guest. He said, quick, come down. I must be your guest in your home. And he goes, my house? What? And when he said, Zacchaeus, now you got to be with me. I know I'm in scripture. I know I'm in texts. But when he said Zacchaeus, all the eyes of the crowd were now looking at the tree. And they seen a face that kind of looked like Zacchaeus. Is that Zacchaeus? He's a rich man. What the heck is he doing up in that tree? Was he going to jump down on Jesus? What is he doing? That all eyes now were on Zacchaeus up in this tree. He had to make a decision. The decision Jesus gave him was to quick, come down. Come down quick. I'm going to be a guest in your home today. I think too many times we miss it. God's moving, God's tugging, and we say mañana, tomorrow, but he told him, come down now. I need to be a guest in your home today. He was up there on the down low just wanting to see Jesus. And Jesus looked up, called him by name, told him to come down. I put here, being a committed Christian will put all eyes on you. I have meetings with Felipe and say, hey man, where I'm at, people are looking at me. I can be in that front row, everybody behind me, and I know some of you are checking the pastor out, saying he's still up there. Or some of you are getting negative thoughts about the pastor. Praise the Lord, get in line. Climb a tree, do whatever you got to do. And that's the problem with Christianity today. There's too many on the down low Christians. Because there's still some things taking place in your life on the down low. And that's why we have too many down on the down low Christians today. Not being a witness of Jesus. Not answering the call. Not using the gifts. Because you're on the down low. Promise you won't tell no one? A week later, you get in a fight with the same person you told, now it's up in a tree, your name's being called out. Too many down low Christians today. And I put here, the Lord has given us the platform to be seen. He's given us a platform to be seen. That day, Jesus being all-knowing, amen, he gave Zacchaeus a tree to climb. The Lord has given us a platform to be seen. The Bible says that we are the light of the world. Can you imagine if Jesus would have not looked up and seen Zacchaeus on the down low? Remember, Jesus could have kept walking because he had a visit that he had to make in Jerusalem called Calvary. He could have missed Zacchaeus up in the tree. But the Bible says that he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus up there. Jesus could have missed me being in that prison cell and he could have kept going right on by and not seen me wearing different clothes with a big old mustache and long hair and acting all killer and all that dumb stuff. He could have passed my life by, but he didn't. And even though I wasn't seeking him, Jesus was seeking my life because he had a call and a plan for my life and a destination called Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that he knew that one day from the prison cell that I would come here and be the senior pastor of the church called Victory Outreach. Hallelujah. I wasn't looking for Jesus. He was looking for me. Zacchaeus just wanted to take a peek and see Jesus. He wanted a Band-Aid, a Hail Mary, say 10 Hail Marys, Band-Aid. Could you imagine if Jesus wouldn't have looked up? Could you imagine Jesus wouldn't have looked your way? Because nobody was looking our way when we were in our mess. Or could ever count on us to do anything right. Jesus looked my way while I was still doing time on the down low. Just another part of the crowd of the prison system. But he had a plan for my life. Salvation would have walked right by Zacchaeus, missing out on the opportunity. He had already missed it in Matthew's house. And this opportunity was not only for him, but it was for his household, the Bible records. It's important. It's for your household. It's important that you stand up as a disciple of the Lord. That void is there because only Jesus can fill that void. You're here because Jesus has called you here. Right before this story, which takes place in chapter 19, 1 through 10, let's go to chapter 18. Right before this, there was a blind beggar off on the roadside. Luke 18, 35, 43 says, as Jesus approached Jericho, right before he got to Zacchaeus, he got to this blind beggar. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked, what is happening? He was blind, literally blind. They told him that Jesus, the Nazarene, was going by. So he began shouting. He wasn't like Zacchaeus on the down low. But this man was literally blind. He heard news that Jesus was coming around the corner. He couldn't see him. So he started calling out. The Bible says, shouting the name of Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet. The people in front yelled at him. It was like, I believe, and people in front, they went, hey, they're yelling in their ear. The crowd. See, the crowd represents the world. Be quiet. Come on, let's go party. Come on, be quiet with that. You ain't going to church tomorrow. Let's go party. That's what's in right now. Let's go be a on the down low Christian. Shh, you don't say nothing, I won't say it. Pinky promise, pinky promise. The crowd, the world will always tell you to go be part of what they're doing. But he only shouted louder. There was a need in his life just like there was one in Zacchaeus' life. There was a void in his life also. And the Bible records that he wasn't on the down, that he shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, there was a big crowd and Jesus was hearing a cry. I believe a lot of them were crying out their need to Jesus as he was walking by. But Jesus heard this cry get louder. He heard the earnesty behind this crowd. And the Bible records that he heard him. He couldn't see him. He saw Zacchaeus. He couldn't see this beggar. But the Bible records when Jesus heard him, he stopped. And even though he was walking a little fast, like I said, because he was headed towards the cross of commitment, that he stopped and he ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, see, this is real important. As we get near to Jesus, things happen. Being that he was blind and being that there was a crowd, just like the Zacchaeus was too short, he couldn't see Jesus. This blind beggar, he was blind, amen. I believe he was sitting down. There was a crowd, amen. And because he couldn't get to Jesus, Jesus drew near to him. The Bible records when Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Lord, he said, "I want to see." He wanted the same thing Zacchaeus wanted. He wanted to see. He wanted to see. Zacchaeus was a rich man. He could see. He had eyes. But his pride of his wealth blinded him from following Jesus. And then on the other hand, you got another man that wants to see Jesus, that ain't on the down low, but is literally blind. He can't see Jesus. He can't see Jesus. You can pick what you want to be, but I was that blind beggar. I was the blind beggar. I was a blind beggar. Couldn't get nothing right. Couldn't get nothing done. I was that blind beggar. When the prison lights would go out, I would call to Jesus because I had a sister that was praying for me. When we were done walking the yard, acting all killers and matones, in my bed, I would hear lifers cry at night. I would hear men that were going to spend the rest of their life in prison cry to Jesus. All tattooed. Because there was not only a void within their life, but they had seen how certain men had been saved by Jesus that were still in prison, or certain men that were doing good that were now out of prison. And there was a hope even for the prisoner, the captive, to call upon the name of Jesus, even though they were a lifer. It was just like they had nothing to lose but all to gain. So here we have this poor man that's blind, but non-ashamed and yelling the louder. And they brought him to Jesus. He drew near to Jesus. One was rich, could see, but on the down low. The other one was poor, could not see, but yelling out the name of Jesus. But yet both had a void within their lives that only Jesus could fill. But yet both wanted to see Jesus and seize the opportunity. One wanted to seize the opportunity to throw a peek from a tree, and the other one by yelling, being blind, just yelling, "Jesus!" Question, how many have ever allowed Jesus the opportunity to pass you by? You had an opportunity, he was moving in your life. Things were going great. He came back again, passing your way, to give you the opportunity to be his disciple, to give you the opportunity to fill the void within your life, to give you the opportunity to take the good days along with the bad days, because bad days will come, and to still be able to see Jesus even in your bad day, and to know that he's in control. Amen. And I believe Jesus once again is passing by, and he's calling you by name again. He wants you to draw close to him, and he's asking you here this day, as he asked the blind beggar, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind beggar could have asked for all the money Zacchaeus had. A little further down the road, Jesus, there's a man called Zacchaeus. He's wealthy. I want his money.
But he wanted to see. He wanted to see. He could ask for a big house. He could ask for servants. But he asked for his eyes. He wanted to see. Back to the story of Zacchaeus, Luke 19:5. The Bible says, when Jesus came by and looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name, Zacchaeus! Here in this story, Jesus is the one yelling. And Zacchaeus is on the down low, just wanting to come to church, just wanting to see what's going on. No commitment or anything. Don't look at me like that, Pastor. Just coming to church. That's it. Don't quick, come down. I must. It was a must. I must be a guest in your home today. I shared last Sunday that too many times we come to Jesus, we're pulled, we're tugged by the person of the Holy Spirit, and we leave Jesus at the church instead of taking him home. He was just asking. It starts off as Jesus being a guest at your house when he should be somebody that lives in your house. That lives in your house. I must be a guest in your home today. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to die. He had no time to waste in getting into position for you and I to be committed. I believe Zacchaeus had no time to waste as well. He told him, come down that tree you pick, come down quick. He had, I believe, missed the opportunity before in regards to following Jesus. How many know that the return of Jesus is very soon? It's very soon, the return of Jesus. The time we're living in very clearly demonstrates his return is soon. The void within your life very clearly demonstrates that his return is soon. We no longer have time to be uncommitted, on the down low Christians. The moment of opportunity for Zacchaeus was then and there and on that day. And here, the opportunity for you and I is now, right here, and today. In answering the call and wasting no more time and being a disciple of Jesus. Jesus needed Matthew as he was making his way to Jericho. Matthew didn't say nothing. He was just following Jesus. He was just still in position. I believe Matthew could have been having a bad day that day, but he was still in position following Jesus. On that day, all Jesus needed was Matthew to be behind, because he knew that it was going to make a big difference. When Zacchaeus looked if Matthew was there or not, because it's my story, I say Matthew was having the worst day of his life, walking through Jericho that day. But he was in position, and he was with Jesus, and Jesus knew that the testimony of Matthew was very critical to the salvation of Zacchaeus coming down from that tree for salvation to come to his house. Your testimony, your witness is very important, and it should be able to be seen clearly that you are a Christian. You wonder why other people in your family are still not saved yet. When Jesus is needing your witness,
He's needing them to see you still coming to church, even on a bad day. Still coming to church when money's coming, money's sweet. Because a lot of people don't come to church also on a good day. Because they got places to go. People see things to do that become more important than to be that witness that Jesus needs. So when I'm preaching, people can see people in church. Man, he's still here. Man, I was betting a long time ago that he was going to be gone a long time ago. I was betting she's still here. You no longer have the time to be uncommitted. Download Christians. You know why there's a lot of download Christians? Because that was our nature in the streets. We're on the down low. We're on the down low. Everything we did was illegal. It was on the down low. On the down low. Everything done in darkness, secrecy. And that's why we got too many down low Christians. On the down low Christians. You know this is the Victory Outreach message, man. Jesus gave me the down low. He gave me that. The moment of opportunity was then and there that day and for Zacchaeus. The next day there would be no pool, no conviction. Jesus would pass by to go to die on the cross. He had to make a decision up in that tree. He had to make a decision in answering the call and humbling himself and coming down in front of the whole crowd to have Jesus go to his house. I bet you he had all kinds of stuff laying around his house. Luke 19:8, and coming to an end. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. In all these verses from 1 through 10, Zacchaeus is never talking. He's just observing and listening. For being a crooked person, it's kind of hard to be quiet. Amen? But he speaks up in one verse, verse 8, out of the 10 verses. It was all Jesus. But too many times we are the 9 verses and we give one verse to Jesus. We're always talking a good talk, but Jesus ain't in it. And here the Bible records the first time Zacchaeus speaks. He's now before the Lord. The Bible says that he stood before the Lord and said, wasn't up in the tree no more. He humbled himself, came down. And he said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back 4 times as much. Here, Zacchaeus came with a good repentance. He repented. He says, I'll give back to whom I have cheated. I've cheated a lot of people in Texas. I cheated a lot of people in different parts of California. But I've never cheated one of you guys in Milwaukee. As much as you want to tell that story, it's yours. I'll let you tell it like you want to tell it. I've never cheated nobody here. And I believe some of you have cheated Milwaukee. You've come up, got over. And this is the streets that are dying. These are the streets that we help. We're going to a rally today on 19th in Greenfield. To the people that some of you have cheated, we're going back there now to repay what Jesus has done within our lives. We're going back to repay not so much with finances, but with our life. The city of Milwaukee, to give them the opportunity to follow Jesus. Amen? Jesus is passing by right now. What are you going to do? You're going to have to humble yourself. That's one. There's no way around the humble pie. There's no way around it. You don't like humble pie? Do right. You like to eat cherry pie? Do right. But there's always some humble pie that Jesus has to serve. Nobody wants to humble themselves no more. Nobody wants to say my bad no more. Nobody wants to say, man, I could be doing better right now, Pastor. My bad. When there's a void within your life that shouldn't be there. A void that you can't blame your pastor, this church, or Jesus on. It's a void that you chose to allow to be there. It's a decision whether to have a void within your life or your life, the void within your life to be filled with Jesus. It's a decision. You're going to have to come down off that tree. The altar call is a tree, a sycamore fig tree, where we're able to come down and stand before Jesus, just like Zacchaeus said. So we can repent and say, Jesus, forgive me, I've been wrong. You're not repenting to me to make me right. You're repenting to Jesus, the one that answered that blind man's beggar. He opened his eyes, and the Bible says that he went following Jesus. He didn't open his eyes and then go back to the world. The Bible records that he followed Jesus. He was grateful that now he could see. As the worship team makes their way, the Bible says that Zacchaeus came down off that tree and he was excited. Something was moving within his life, saying this void is no longer going to be there. This void today is going to be taken care of. I'm going to get in position in my house with Jesus in my house. Jesus could not make it to the house of Zacchaeus without Zacchaeus first humbling himself, coming down off the tree, and walking and unlocking his door to his house. Jesus says, I must be a guest at your house today. Zacchaeus could have said, nah, Pastor, Jesus, that one ain't happening. Got too much money, got too much stuff going on, I'm too busy right now. And I believe a lot of times because Jesus no longer abides in our house because we get too busy. We get bummed out, take a couple of hits. And instead of needing Jesus the more, we allow the hits to take us away from Jesus. I love each and every one of you guys. I want to see your life blessed. I want to see you stand in the time of trial. I want to see you stand in the time of the storm. Because if I want to see that, how much those that are lost and bound that are your very own family members, what's going to make the odds better at your house? That you stand or that you don't stand? That you stand with Jesus or that you don't stand with Jesus? If the odds are all messed up right now, what are going to make the odds better? It's standing with Jesus. That void can be filled, and then all of a sudden that hope comes again, that faith comes again and says, man, I'm going to do this. Whether they follow or not, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do this. They're going to see that I am a disciple of Jesus, not only in the good times, but also in the hard times. Jesus has set me free to follow. I want to be the real deal end time Christian of Jesus. I don't want to be on the down low Christian. I want to be the real deal. And whatever comes, que viene, whatever comes with it, let it be. So let it be done, Lord. Not my will, but thy will be done. And though I live a very, very hard life, I live a very blessed life, and I know that don't make sense. But to me, it makes plenty of sense. It makes plenty of sense. Because I could be doing a million things now. I will say, I don't know how to use a computer. I could run a computer corporation right now. Yeah, your pastor's that wise. But that's not what Jesus opened my eyes to do. He literally opened my eyes to open the eyes of the blind as I was at one time. And that don't pay much. It don't pay much. I could be an assistant pastor to Elmbrook. I bet you right now, if I was to go put an application, give them my credentials, that would give me a seat in the front, or maybe a chair up there, like the kind they have at the altar. I have my picture on a wall, but that's not what God's called me to do. That's not what He's called me to do. Some of you are doing things that God has not called you to do. It's part of the crowd. Jesus needs your life to be seen right now. In a darkened time that we live in, He needs your life to be clearly seen. That you're walking with Jesus. That day, though Zacchaeus had a void within his heart, though he was blinded by wealth, as he peeped, he couldn't deny the point and the fact that Matthew was still walking with Jesus. He said, "That's it. I'm doing it, man. I'm all in." He couldn't deny the fact that Matthew was still hanging with Jesus. I believe the clothes of Matthew kind of dropped a few levels, like from the fancy stores of the mall to the segunda, maybe clothes. I don't know. It's my story. But all that matters was that Matthew was walking with Jesus. I believe on that day that mattered more to Zacchaeus than Jesus walking by. Because he really didn't know the man Jesus at all. But he knew who Matthew was. He knew who Matthew was. You and I are the proof of this city that Jesus lives. The Lord's speaking right now. Isn't that your pastor? I'm like a ventriloquist or whatever you call them. Jesus, I'm just opening my mouth. I'm just a puppet Jesus is using right now. A puppet that's in position. You are the proof of this city that not only that Jesus lives, but that He can change anybody's life. The heavy Rebbe for Zacchaeus was Matthew, was still in rank, was still with Jesus. He was still with Jesus. I believe Matthew had gone through all kinds of stuff. And many times he wanted to go back as being a tax collector at the booth. Because walking with Jesus ain't no joke, baby. But neither is being blind and on drugs and behind prison bars with a hit on your life. I choose to walk with Jesus. And as I become 57 years old now in my life, I see the clock ticking a little quicker now. It's just me. Grandpa every day talks to me, man, those first 20 years, when I became 20, it took forever to become 20 years old. I remember waiting to be 16, 18 to have a driver's license. It took forever for me to get my driver's license. The first 20 years, God speaks to that old man right there. He says the first 20 years, he's looking back on his life now. He said it took a long time to get 20, to become 20. But he said from 20 to 77 and happened so fast. It happened so fast. I says, I got you, Grandpa. I got you, man. I got you. I know where he's coming from. I'm 57, man, and I'm walking a little quicker, though. My knees hurt more. I'm walking a little quicker. So I'm going to. Because there's an urgency in my life knowing that I ain't got too much time walking around on these dogs of mine. So I'm going to put in work while I have the opportunity to put in work for growing the kingdom of God, whether people show up or people don't show up. There's an urgency within my life to do more. Because today I have more wisdom. My body's getting older, but my wisdom is increasing. Scripture says, as the outer body decays, the inner man is getting stronger and stronger. So in spirit, I'm getting stronger, but in body, I'm getting weaker. And that's why I love it when I got some youth on fire in the church. I love it that it was me and Balta and Derek, man. We're old dogs, man. I call it the over 50 crew. But then God sends to the job that we went up there, Jay, which is young, and como se llama Daniel, which is young. And I said, ándale, ándale, vámonos. And now they're my feet, they're my hands. And the job still gets done. Even though I'm walking slower and I can't cover as much ground. God sent I was just like you guys, young, fast, tearing it up, but with no wisdom. But today I have the wisdom, just can't get around that quick. There needs to be a sense and an urgency within your life right now that you're getting older. And what are you going to be known for? What are you going to be remembered by? What are they going to write on your casket? Or will they even show up to your funeral? What are you going to be known by? The person that used to go to Victory Outreach? Or the man of God, the woman of God that died serving the Lord? Time's moving quick right now. It's moving quick. It's moving quick, and Jesus is looking for those that even if you're on the 50 and older, that you're still wanting to get down with your wisdom, with the knowledge and the gift that God has given you. It's okay that everything don't work all that good no more. You got wisdom. To be a leader, to orchestrate a group of people that are young that can move for you, that don't have the wisdom yet. What are you doing? Are you going to remain a down-low Christian? Or do you want to be on the platform to walk with Jesus so when people look this way, they're able to see you before they see Jesus? Your life is important right now, no matter what you're going through. Whatever you're going through, your life is important, man. Don't let the devil lie to you and say you've been messing up. You ain't got nothing to show forth right now. Son mentiras. You got Jesus. And he's okay with being a guest at your house to eventually live in your house. He's okay with starting all over again with you. He loves you. You're his son. You're his daughter. What's keeping you from being an end-time disciple? I'm that Matthew. I'm that blind beggar. I'm that proof that Jesus can keep a man, that Jesus can keep a woman. There needs to be an urgency, man. We're getting older. The coming of Jesus is closer. Today's the day that I believe some of you got to make a decision, because tomorrow is not promised. Tomorrow, something else might take place where no longer the pull of Jesus is activated as it is right now. tomorrow something else might be pulling you that is not of Jesus. Pastor, do you know what time it is already? Yes, I do. It's time to be a disciple of the Lord. It's not 12:30. It's time to be a disciple of the Lord. I believe Matthew was having the worst day of his life that day. But he was walking with Jesus. I believe he was bummed out. Jesus knew he was bummed out. Jesus said, just keep following me. There's somebody creeping in the tree up ahead. There's somebody who needs to see some proof. There's somebody else like you used to be, Matthew, with a void in his heart. This next one, you know him. You know him. You know him. He was one that you said that would never be able to change. You know him, Matthew. You know, just keep on following me, Matthew. Stay in position, Matthew. Just stay in position, Matthew. You're my proof. You're my glue. You're my catalyst. Stay behind me, Matthew. Stay behind me, Matthew. This is why the Bible says to pick up our cross, deny yourself, and follow Jesus. We're his proof. We're his proof. We're his proof. I feel like doing a sitting altar call right now. First time ever. Stay where you're at. Nobody move. Nobody get hurt. I want you to make the altar call sitting right there where you're at. Because that's my position with Jesus every morning. I sit with Jesus. You've heard it before. Sometimes it's like this, my legs up from all the inflammation in my legs. I do that. I got the bed now that goes. I ando machando TV, man. Because I got a plan for tomorrow to do stuff for Jesus. And I got to get the inflammation down. I got elephantitis. I made up that word right now. I sit. This is what I do. Just like what you're doing right now. This is the way I'm able to see Jesus. This is the way he's able to see me seeking him. Knowing I'm just a man. I get mad. I get angry. I still want to throw blows once in a while. But I don't. It's time for somebody else to start throwing blows. And I sit with Jesus like this. And sometimes if I sit long enough with Jesus and the phone don't ring, I go to sleep. I wake up and I pray some more with Jesus and just hang out. The way I walk with Jesus is sitting with Jesus. It's the way I walk with Jesus. The reason some of you can't walk with Jesus is because you haven't learned yet how to sit with Jesus and have that relationship where you know he's all over you, whether you're having a good day or a bad day, sitting with Jesus, to be able to walk with Jesus, to be able to stand with Jesus. You first got to learn how to sit with Jesus. Yep. I can preach another hour or two. You want me to? Ni uno dijo sí, man. All of you are qualified. I tell the leadership, you're overqualified. But too many times we let the devil in to make us think we're, you know, not qualified. We can't do it. We can't do it. If we could walk in the dark, why can't we walk in the light? Father, this day we thank you. We love you, Lord. No song. Keyboard.
We need you, Jesus. There's a void. But I believe one of the most important verses was verse 8, Lord Father God, when Zacchaeus repented of his sins, Lord. I believe he did in front of people also, because something happened when he saw you and Matthew. Something happened that allowed him to come down off that tree quickly. Something happened. And Father, I believe here this Sunday, now afternoon, something has happened. You came walking past us, giving us an opportunity to not only receive you as Lord and Savior, but to take you home as a guest to our house. No matter what the condition of the house may be, you want to be a guest. Because something happened, like happened in my life over 22 years ago. Father, I ask that you touch every man, every woman here, and every youth, Lord. That you breathe upon them, Lord. Breathe into their lives, Lord. They may be those living beings for you, Lord, Father, those living disciples, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We love you. And we all say in one accord, amen. Amen. No clapping. No clapping. It's pretty bad when your pastor feels guilty if he goes over 30 minutes for preaching the gospel, for giving the love of Jesus. Just we ain't got time for Jesus no more. It's amazing where some of the mindsets went in the last 30 minutes of this message. Because there's something you got to do. The good news is, you might be 30 minutes late in where you were going to, but you're still early enough to go to the rally on 19th in Greenfield, for they can see Jesus, the opportunity, pass by in you. I already said amen. You guys can leave, man. Don't blame the rest on me. Anything from here is your fault. I love you guys. God bless you guys. Anybody wants to speak to me, I'm here for you. Amen.